Your Preparation Station with Donna Miller is on the air. Tune in for insight and encouragement for living a more sustainable, back-to-basics lifestyle. No matter where you've come from or what the future may hold, we hope each episode will encourage you with topics, guests, and stories that inspire your journey towards self-sufficiency. And now, the hostess of Your Preparation Station, Donna Miller.
Welcome to another episode of Your Preparation Station. I'm so glad you've joined me again today. I know I've had a little lapse. We were without internet for 10 days. Yes, we were. It was kind of a neat little vacation. I got to be outside. I got to look at something other than a screen. But unfortunately, I didn't get a chance to make a show to be with you guys. So hopefully we'll make up for that today, and you'll enjoy the show and learn a lot of great new stuff. I'm going to do my spiel. Yeah, I am. It's my usual thing. I usually try to be very selective about the guests that I have on because I try to hunt down real people rather than just big niche marketing sites that push preparedness out of fear or try to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge because that's what will save your life. Some of y'all catch my drift. If you've never listened to me before, go back and listen to a few of the shows. Basically, I'm kind of a stickler about someone who walks the talk is who comes on the show. Someone who encourages you rather than pushes your panic buttons is who comes on the show. And I'd like to encourage you to do the same thing when you're surfing the web or listening to radio shows. Back away if they start to push your panic buttons or if they start to tell you you have to do it exactly their way or you're never going to make it. You want to look for facilitators, not dictators, when it comes to your preparedness journey. So that's why I'm happy to have the guest I have on today. We're going to bring him on in a little bit. But I also want to encourage you to go by and pick up our magazine, which is free. There's a reason it's free. It's because we want as many people encouraged and prepared as possible. And that preparation can be for something personal. You've lost a job, or you're losing your home, or you've just had a health scare and, you know, you've got insurmountable bills, and so you're trying to really stretch things. Preparation is different for different things. And you, if you're prepared in one area, you're kind of also prepared in others. If you're preparing for a tornado, you have some things that are kind of backed up if you lose the power as well. So it's kind of a Prepare magazine is really there to just encourage you that this isn't a journey of fear or paranoia. It's a journey of peace and peace of mind and being able to be generous and share for others with others who are in need. So go by and pick up a copy at preparemag.com. Just select the digital version. That's free. And from there, you can kind of see what's coming up. There is a print version. It's different. It has different content that's not published digitally. So that's an option if you'd like it as well. And a way you can check up on who you're listening to, because if I'm going to make you adhere to that to listen to my guest, you better be able to check up on who I am, don't you think? I mean, do I walk the talk? Am I trying this journey? No one ever reaches the end of the destination and is totally prepared. Basically, at that point, you're dead. Because you're done. And hopefully you've been prepared for that one as well. Yeah, we'll get on that topic another time. But you do need to check up on who you're listening to, whether it's me or anybody else, to find out what they're really like. Hopefully I sound very similar every time you hear me. Not so much that I'm redundant and boring, but at least that I am singing the same tune and not changing my spots with whatever the fad is at the time, or the keyword, or the hot topic of the news. So check up on who we are. Go to yourpreparationstation.com, browse around, watch the videos. You can even check out YouTube and type in Your Preparation Station, probably find us. You can also type in Miller's Grain House or Donna Miller on YouTube and find us there. Type in The Wheat Guy. I have years of videos on how to stretch food and eat whole foods there. And just, you know, get acquainted with us. Sign up for the newsletter and hopefully get encouraged that way as well. And you'll kind of know who you're listening to. I'm not just a disembodied voice that gets some paycheck. This show is out of absolutely just the desire to encourage you to prepare and give you good quality content with people that are not going to freak you out, that have your best interest at heart, not their pocketbooks. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to my guest. I'm really excited to have with me today a very special guest. This is the first opportunity I've had to be able to speak with Dr. James Hubbard, and we're just basically sharing it with you guys. You get to listen in. So I think it's this is raw and off the cuff. So, you know, you guys are used to me. It's kind of how I do. We're getting a chance to know each other, and I'm going to talk with him about his newest book. But let me give you a little bit of information about him before I bring him on the line. This is Dr. James Hubbard, MD, MPH. He is one of the nation's foremost survival medicine experts. And at his popular website, thesurvivaldoctor.com, which we have linked below on the show page, he writes about how to deal with the medical problems during a disaster or possibly whenever help is just not able to be found. Dr. Hubbard's evidence-based tips are a combination of modern medicine and some makeshift treatments, plus grandma's home remedies. He's the author of 4 books, including his latest, which is what we're talking about today, Duct Tape 911, The Many Amazing Medical Things You Can Do to Tape Yourself Together, and Living Ready Pocket Manual, First Aid. So I want to quickly give a personal I got a chance to have this book in my hand, which kind of cracked me up because I'm a fan of duct tape across the board. I've been telling people for years that's a great barter tool for your storage. That's a great thing to stockpile along with things like food. So I'm kind of a fan of just duct tape in general. Never, ever until this book did it occur to me to use it on my body. And it was so much fun to sit down and read. It's a quick read. It's an easy reference at the same time. So it gets your brain kind of sparked. So here's my personal story. I sat down, curled up next to my husband one night, and just thumbed through the book, loved the pictures. And then I'll be darned if the next day we weren't outside working in the chicken coop and the yard and the fields, and my husband, who is not accident prone, I'm the one who's accident prone, came walking down the hill and kind of looked at me and went, "Will you take a look at this?" And he opened up his hand, and a garden shear had accidentally shut on his finger and filleted it nice and wide and open. And now we live 45 minutes away from any type of civilization, and I would say an hour and a half away from any type of medical care. So my first thought was, I just made a butterfly bandage to hold the two pieces of skin together out of duct tape because I had the book last night. It was pretty awesome. I probably would not have thought. I would have probably grabbed my first aid kit and thumbed through trying to find something to hold it together. Of course, we stopped the bleeding. The duct tape held everything great. And my husband being the, I don't know if it's manly macho to stay away from stitches or if it's scared of needles. I'm not sure which one it is. He opted to keep the duct tape as his option because he heals quite well. Has barely got a scar, too. So I just wanted to throw out my personal experience of how quickly we used the things that Dr. Hubbard had put in the book the very next day. So I just want to say thank you, Dr. Hubbard. My husband thanks you. His ring finger thanks you.
Well, that's great. That's great. You live a far away and that sort of thing. I certainly don't think that the duct tape or anything takes the place of a doctor, only when you can't get to one and things like that. And, with those injuries like that, first off, you have to make sure they're really, really clean. People want to know how to close those types of things, but I always say, don't get too anxious about it. Make sure the bleeding stopped, and make sure it's really, really clean before you do anything. And then, there are options, and some people want to learn how to stitch, and that's great. But if you don't, a duct tape can be a very viable option to a lot of these. I mean, we tape, as a doctor, I've taped many wounds together, not with duct tape, usually in the office, but with the sterile tape. Same principle, though.
Mm-hmm. It worked great. It was probably easier to use and make just a butterfly stitch by folding, making kind of an eye shape and folding the center together so there was nothing sticky on the wound. It was just butterflying it together to push those two pieces of filleted flesh. That's the only way I can put it. It was nice and clean. It was a good clean cut, so it was not a big mess to deal with other than stopping the bleeding. So, and I honestly would not have thought about it. And my husband said to me afterwards, he said, "You've been so calm." And I went, "Yeah, because I kind of knew what to do."
Well, great, great.
Yeah, it was a fun one.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know what to do, kind of at least, and you start focusing on what to do. A lot of times you won't have the queasy feeling quite so bad that you would otherwise. I have this story about a gentleman who came to my office, and he had a pretty bad cut, and similar to what you said, except he was out and he was had cut himself, and he needed to have his wife bring him in to see me. So he went to the door, surprised her, said, "Hey, I need you to take me to the doctor." She said, "Why?" He showed her the cut. She fainted. And so he ended up having to take her in and drive. So, yeah, you did great.
Yeah, when you do know what to do, or at least you have an understanding of what to do, you have a better peace of mind to tackle it. Well, now we've gotten already off track. I tend to do this. Sorry. I do want to let everybody get to know a little bit more about you. So can you share a little bit about your background, a little bit more about yourself?
Yeah, I'm an MD, family practice. The MPH stands for the Master of Public Health. It's just kind of an extra degree that I got for public health reasons and to be board certified in occupational medicine. But I'm a family practice, been there for over 30 years, started in my little town in Mississippi. That's where I learned a lot of this stuff that I'm talking about. People 30 years ago, you know, they took care of themselves, lived out in the country, and couldn't get to the doctor or the ambulance, couldn't get to them right away. And so they made do, and I learned a lot from them at that point and have learned a lot since from everybody, and also learned things that maybe they did that maybe weren't so smart that they should, you know, that they need to know differently what to do. So that's how I started.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, now, Your book has been very popular. I know a lot of people I've seen talking about it. How did you ever get interested in survival medicine itself?
Well, I think my first inkling was when I was small and my mother was involved in a tornado in Tupelo, where about 200 people were killed. Mm-hmm. This was back in the late 30s. And, you know, people were around and hurt, and she was driving through and things and saw these people. And there weren't people around, you know, there weren't enough emergency personnel to take care of them for quite a while. So, that started me thinking, well, there's not always going to be an expert around to help out right away, at least. So as time went on, I became a doctor, and I again see that, people really need to know more about what to do when 911 is not quite there. We're so spoiled these days because it's so great, 911, but sometimes it just doesn't come. So you see all these every year there's disasters here in the United States where people who in rural areas and in urban areas something happens and they basically have not learned what to do about simple medical problems. So I decided that would be something that I could really help out with, and started my website, and then went from there. I have videos out and books, and have been really glad I did it.
Yeah, it's true. We are very reliant and kind of almost complacent because of the systems that have been placed, and they are good and they are vital, but they don't always work.
Yeah, nothing always works. And so, yeah, at 911, the few minutes before it gets there, there are things that you can do to save a life during those times. And sometimes it's just a little late or may not even come if there's some sort of a main disaster. You know, it may be not able to get there for quite a while. So, yeah, it's a great, great thing. And it's so good. And the EMTs and paramedics are so good that a lot of us just tend to not just depend on them so much that we think, well, we don't need to know all this basic stuff. And you do, because you never know when you're going to need it. Nobody expects, or most nobody expects when they're going to need things. People who come to my office with emergencies, you know, they've been injured some way. Yeah, I hear again and again, wow, if I'd only done something different, or I really wasn't expecting this. And I tell them, yeah, nobody, you know, you don't start your day thinking, well, I'm going to be prepared to, if I break my arm today, you know, it just happens out of the blue.
Yeah, they call them accidents for a reason. You really
can't
get a beeline on every single one that might come in your path. That's
right.
They're not all expected. Well, in light of that, do you have any broader or more general medical survival tips or advice?
Yeah, I think people, you know, this is National Preparation or Preparedness Month, I think, and I think there's so many things going around, and there's so many things that you might start thinking about, or thinking over, you're overwhelmed. You just can't prepare for anything. But the thing is, a lot of these problems are pretty similar on what you prepare for, and the injuries that happen. And so I think that people ought to have down really in their mind, like a reflex, what to do in certain situations. You see somebody bleeding, or you're bleeding, you put pressure on the wound. Simple, yeah, you think you're going to do it, fine. I have had so many people come to the office, and they're not doing it, and they're saying, oh, I'm bleeding. All I do is put pressure on the wound, it stops. Because they're not thinking right then. The panic sets in, blood flows away from their brain, and you know, you just don't think quite right. So have it as a reflex before, and several of the other things. Cool a burn. If you see no sign of life, start chest compressions. You know, just several things. And I have some of those in my book, Living Ready, Pocket Manual. And the thing about that is, if you'll do those things, you'll have you'll then have some time to take a deep breath and think about the other things you might be able to do. Because you know, there are things you have to do right away, and then there are things. But most of the things you have a few minutes at least to think about, and of course that's the time to get out my book or wait for 911 or like I said, think about things. But there are a few things, and they're not, I don't think they're overwhelming to know, that if you'll know them, it'll really help if an emergency comes up.
Yeah. And I think reading about them ahead of time, kind of, even if you don't feel like you're committing every bit of that to knowledge, you know, it's not always that you can commit every bit of it to knowledge the first read. If you've even read it one time, you can be surprised how quickly something can be called to your memory that you can take care of the emergency at hand.
Yes, you can, and I agree with that. I think the baseline is what I was saying about reflexly knowing that, you know, and then after that, hopefully, yes, you will read about things. You will, you know, like I said, for my books, the duct tape and the Living Ready, you read those through, and you're right. You'll be surprised what you'll know. And the other thing is, you know, if you have hands-on courses around, take them. They're another way to learn, and the more ways you can learn, I think, the better.
Very great advice. Many of us are kind of kinesthetic and tactile learners. I think that's also fantastic advice. There's always a lot of those that you can help. It helps commit your motor skills to memory, and you can jump into action almost without thinking about it.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to take a real quick break and hear a little word from our sponsors, and I'll come back and talk a little bit more about your newest book, The Duct Tape 911, in just a moment. We'll be back with my guest, Dr. Hubbard, and we'll return.
Do you have your free digital subscription to Prepare Magazine yet? If not, then hurry over to preparemag.com and start getting each monthly issue sent directly to your inbox. It's easy. All you have to do is go to preparemag.com, enter your name and email address, and you're subscribed. Consider signing up for the premium membership for past issues and exclusive resources. You can even subscribe to the beautiful print version of Prepare Magazine. Visit preparemag.com and choose the option that's most valuable to you. Prepare Magazine, encouraging, empowering, and enriching your journey.
Hey, shh, I have a secret. Actually, I'm just checking to see if you're listening. There's a special code embedded in each episode of your preparation station that you can save at millersgrainhouse.com/store. If you go to millersgrainhouse.com/store and put in the code YPS, you can save 5% on any and every order from now on. We just want to be able to say thank you for listening and help you prepare. Shh. Remember the secret code, YPS.
Your preparation station is on the air.
Thank you for staying tuned. I'm here with my guest, Dr. James Hubbard, and we're talking about his newest book, Duct Tape 911. Admittedly, I'm going to say, duct tape is one of my favorite things. You heard me say at the beginning of the show, I just had never thought about taping myself together. So I'm just going to have to ask, what on earth made you come up with duct tape as a medical
I love common things we have around the house that you can use for medical purposes if you don't have other things. Of course, there's always it's always second or third best, yeah, but sometimes you have to do that. So mm-hmm. I love those types of things. I love duct tape. I think so many people already know about it. And I love to make people think about, you know, if you know a little bit of the basics, you can make do when you have to. So that mm-hmm. I came up with that. I've looked at a lot of books on duct tape, and there are, you know, hundreds of uses that, and books that, with those in there. Didn't see anything about the medical uses. So I thought I'd come out with that book. It's illustrated. I think it's kind of a fun read, but it also, has a serious underlying tone, and you can save lives with these things that I mentioned.
Mm-hmm. I would agree with you. It is kind of a fun read. I like the illustrations. It makes it, it also is another thing that helps commit some things to memory because it is slightly fun. It's not an over someone's head medical terms book. So if anyone's considering getting the book, we'll have links down below where you can go get these. But it's not something that is overwhelming or talks above someone's head. It's definitely very user-friendly to just read through it. So
yeah, thank you. Certainly that's what I do. I try to do in everything, and especially in this book. I think maybe medical people would benefit from it, doctors, but still, again, on the other hand, it's not your typical textbook. It's more it's more where anybody, I think, can understand it.
Yeah, I agree. So out of this book, or maybe a new one that you didn't include, what are your favorite duct tape medical uses?
Oh, there are so many. First off, one of the reasons I started thinking about it was the thing that you used it for, which is for wounds. For quite a while, before I even thought about a duct tape book, I was treating wounds, closing wounds. What if you can't do sutures? And I was thinking, everybody has a little duct tape around. Most people are some sort of tape, and you can tape those wounds together just like I do occasionally in the office. And so that's what started me. And then started thinking about other things, and came up with so many. Again, some of the things I actually use in the office, not always duct tape, but if somebody comes in and they've fallen on some a cactus. I've had that happen quite a few times. It's just so hard to get all those little stickers out. So you get as many as you can out. You stick the tape to the back, and I do this in office, not duct tape, but other tapes, and then pull off, and it's really the best way to get those things out and do that several times, and it's a whole lot better than trying to get down there and try to pick everyone out. Mm-hmm. So that's just one of the things. You can make a sling out of duct tape. You can make a splint out of duct tape.
Wow.
You know, and one of the things that people certainly haven't thought about is you can make a pair of glasses out of duct tape if you need to.
I did read that chapter. I love that.
Well, I wear glasses, and if I lose my glasses or contacts, I don't wear contacts anymore. But anyway, if I were to lose those out in the middle of the woods somewhere, I would have a hard time finding my way back home, and certainly not being able to tell a stick from a snake. I'm so nearsighted. So if you're nearsighted, there's for years we've known that if you make a little pinhole and you look through it, it clears up your vision. It focuses all the light back there better than just looking without the pinhole. And you can see a lot better. If I do that, I can see probably 20, 40, 20, 60, whereas without it, it's probably 20, 200. So it doesn't cure your vision or anything like that. It's just temporary. But if you have to, you can get you some duct tape, make some little lenses, which I show you how to do, and then put some pinholes in it so you have more than one so you can have a little bit better range of vision. And, you can get by till you can get somewhere where you can do better.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was very, very interesting, among other things that you had in the book. So I would encourage people, if you get a chance to pick up a copy, it's a wide range of things. So, not just, wounds or a couple different things. There are a wide range of things that you can use duct tape for in a pinch, and I think it's great.
Yeah, so most people know about the warts, but some people don't, and that has some studies behind it too. That you can put duct tape on warts, and it can clear them up. It's not perfect; it doesn't work every time, but no procedure works every time. I mean, you go to the doctor and you get it frozen off, and it may come back, or and any other thing. So it's not 100%, but it is a possibility to do that. You put duct tape on in a certain way for the warts over a period of time, a lot of times the wart goes away.
Yep, we've done that before, and even hadn't even thought about it really being a medical thing. I just knew that it worked.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I want to, before the show comes too close to an end, I want to make sure, do you have any other projects that you have coming out that you're working on?
Oh, yes, I do. I have an exciting project I've been working on over a year, and it's going to be a video course that is going to be available online, and I'll have that by the latter part of September. It'll be out in on my website, and you'll have an option to get that. And it goes into it's professionally made, and it goes into types of emergency situations that are, again, these dire, you got to know what you're right away emergencies, and such as what happens if you find somebody unconscious. A lot of people say, okay, well, you see somebody fall, you do CPR on them. Well, what if they're breathing, or what if you don't know what happened to them? There are a lot of things, and one of the things that people don't think about that comes to mind right away that I've had a lot of people say, wow, is, think of your safety first. You see somebody out somewhere, they are unconscious. Think, okay, well, whatever happened to them, I don't want it to happen to me. So, make sure that, look around, make sure your environment's okay. Every year people good Samaritans, stop on the highway to help wrecks. They're in such a panic that they open the door to their car right there on the side, and they get hit. And it happens, more than you'd think. And so, think of your own safety first. This is exciting for me to have this out. It's not quite hands-on, but I think it's the closest thing you can get. And certainly, you could get some people, some family members, and get them together and kind of talk as the videos go on, and then also maybe even practice on each other.
Oh, awesome. Well, I'm looking forward to hearing more about that.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have to take a real quick break here for another announcement from our channel sponsors, and we appreciate them for keeping us on the air. And as soon as we're done with that, we're going to come back and speak some more with Dr. Hubbard and ask a few more questions and see what else he's got going on.
National Geographic traveled all the way to Boone, North Carolina to select Turtle Island Preserve, a nonprofit outdoor discovery center and Appalachian Heritage Farm, as one of the 100 most enriching destinations in North America. For over 26 years, families have gained enrichment while discovering nature, and more importantly, themselves. In a world where digital screens and push buttons have replaced actual contact with nature, Turtle Island's beautiful campus and knowledgeable staff reconnect its guests to their natural roots. While camping out, visitors learn vast amounts in our non-electric, wood-fired community. Hundreds of hands-on classes are offered, such as beekeeping, woodworking, primitive skills, and more, covering the gamut of early traditional living. A program for fathers and sons kicks off the summer season, followed by a 5-day workshop for adults with renowned naturalist and director Eustace Conway. Turtle Island is a great destination for scouts, school field trips, homeschool, and special interest groups. Please visit our website and then visit our paradise, turtleislandpreserve.org, or call 828-265-2267.
You're not buying food storage containers, heirloom seeds, or water purifiers just for the fun of it. You're getting these things ready for your peace of mind. Visit the Always Ready store in Burnsville, North Carolina, where peace of mind is the end goal of preparedness. Find everything you need to get ready, from food dehydrators to whole grain wheat. Doesn't matter if you're a veteran or a novice to preparedness, the Always Ready store is there to help. Visit the store at West Main Street in Burnsville, North Carolina, located right next to Wishbone's Restaurant. Or visit www.alwaysreadystore.com to shop securely online for anything you might need to keep you and your family prepared. Always Ready Store. Are you ready?
Your preparation station is on the air.
Thank you for staying tuned to the second half of your preparation station. I'm really glad that you stayed with me today. I said it before in the beginning of the show. I'll say it again. Duct tape never occurred to me as a medical device. I'll admit to right this very minute having it keep our bed from rattling, the bed frame. He stopped it from making noise. It has held up a leaf of our table, not taping the leaf itself, but holding those little connectors. I had to enhance the size of those things and duct tape. A few layers of that did it, and so it holds up the leaf of our table. Let's see, I have another thing that duct tape is doing this very minute, and I can't remember now. It eludes me. But medically, and in an emergency for my own body or my husband's, as I said earlier, I had never, ever thought of it before. So I'm delighted to have Dr. James Hubbard with me today, sharing some of the things. I'm grateful to have had that book on hand when I needed it. We've gotten to share a few things about the book and some of your other projects coming up. Let's go back to the book a little bit. Are there other insights into your book or even your other books that you care to share with the listeners?
Sure, there are a lot of insights in there, I think, such as the duct tape. First, I think that everybody ought to have certain supplies with them, wherever they are. And if you'll sign up for my newsletter, there I have a downloadable list of supplies. I'm not into getting a lot of expensive type things. I love things that work for more than one reason. For instance, safety pins. Everybody should have some safety pins around. They should have so many uses. But then, when it comes to an emergency, after you've treated that very life threatening problem, that's immediate, then, if you can't get to medical help, then start thinking, well, what do I have around? If I don't have the proper equipment, what do I have around that will work? And duct tape. Most people have duct tape around and safety pins and that sort of thing. And they can just they can work. They're not the major thing you should have. They're not your first choice, but they're also can really get you by pretty well if you don't have your first choice.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. Well, you've alluded to, you know, in your practice, of course, using the surgical tape or sterile tape. Is duct tape actually safe to use?
Well, that's a really good point. I'm glad you bring that up because nothing, I think anything has its problems. And I think that people, when they think about using duct tape, they'll say, okay, there are, you know, what are the negatives? And if you're allergic to latex, don't use duct tape. Get you some of that latex-free tape and go with that. And, you know, if you have that anyway, fine. Other people, I've had so many people say, wow, duct tape is so sticky. Boy, it's going to be a real problem getting it off. Well, that's a good and a bad. I mean, at certain points, you want that tape to be really, really sticky. And you know, for the wounds and things, it's just almost a must. So you want it really sticky. Yes, it's going to pull some hair coming off. But say in a wound or something, be really careful and take the strips off after it's healed, and you'll take them off slowly and kind of at an angle. You're going to lessen the risk by far of pulling the wound back open. Again, I use strips all the time. It's similar to that in the office. Mm-hmm. I have to be careful. And yeah, it's going to hurt a little bit. Easy for me to say since I don't have it on, but it will hurt some. But it will have done the job. Some people are irritated. Tape can irritate their skin. So be careful with that. And if you have a chance, go ahead and try some on your skin, for a few hours and make sure that it's not going to really irritate you really bad. But in general, duct tape, I think, is safe and easy to use. Some people would say on a wound, what about glue? Well, glue can also be irritating. It's great to for the little wounds. And again, I have glue in the office. It's a less irritating medical glue. Costs probably 10 times or 20 to 30 times more than the regular glue. But it works the same. What I like to do, if you're going to use glue and you're worried about a place that might pop open, the duct tape may not even stick as well, use the glue on there around the skin and let it dry just slightly or give it a few seconds, and then put the duct tape on top of it, and then you've got a super sticky situation, and yeah, it's gonna you worry about getting it off when the time comes.
Yeah, it will. Hopefully by then your body will have healed enough to where taking it off doesn't cause a problem.
Yeah. If you'll be careful and, mm-hmm. do it sideways, and it's going to hurt, but Band-Aids hurt coming off, everything hurts coming off.
I remember being a little kid, being the Band-Aid on was not a big deal, but when it was coming off, I was just petrified.
I don't think anybody likes to take them off.
back in the 70s, it was rip it fast, otherwise it's going to hurt coming off. So that was the way we did things. The one thing I'm not a, glue, I always get nervous, glue going right into your bloodstream area. Is there anything to be concerned about with that or with the duct tape with an open wound?
I think the main thing about open wound, it's not perfect. So what you do is you try to clean that wound as best you can. You know that duct tape is not sterile, but we're only using it, in certain situations. You put the duct tape on, close the wound with your fingers, and then put the duct tape, on, and the infection probably risk is going to be higher than in a medical clinic, but it's going to be higher anyway.
Right.
And so as far as glue in the wound, I don't think that a little bit of glue in the wound is going to get into the bloodstream very much, but it can definitely irritate the raw skin, and it can even irritate the normal skin. So that's the big thing, really, more than anything else. There's the slight infection risk, and then there's the irritation of the skin. I don't think that actually anything getting into the bloodstream, as far as chemicals for that small amount, as far as I know, is not a problem.
Mm-hmm. Well, frankly, if you're coherent and not unconscious, and you don't have a life-threatening gaping wound, the risk of infection is going to be minimal as long as you can get it cleaned and closed as fast as possible, and then seek other help if it's if it's kind of above that level. Seek other help while you've contained the emergency at the moment with duct tape.
Yeah, and if you can't get a wound, if you cannot get a wound clean, same as I would do if you're in the office, if it's a puncture wound or really really dirty, then you don't have worse than you want to close the wounds quickly, you're right, but if you close a wound that's dirty, then you're just giving that bacteria a perfect place to do whatever it wants to do and multiply. You don't want to close those types of wounds. You want to keep them open. The reason to close a wound is cosmetic, plus it's to help it heal quicker. If there's any chance it could be dirty, but your best bet in some cases is just to not close it, to pack it with as clean or as sterile stuff as you can, so maybe some betadine or something similar to that, and keep it packed and wait till you can get to a doctor, or in some cases, if it's not too bad, it'll heal from the inside out and make a scar, and take it a long time to do it, but it will heal.
Yeah. Those are some very good points. I think stopping the bleeding is something everybody kind of first panics to make happen, but you don't want to try to do that unless you've got the wound fairly cleaned, at least before, as clean as humanly possible.
Yeah, you can stop the wound without closing it, certainly, and pressure. And so if you can put, and if it wants, every time you stop putting pressure on it, that stops, it starts bleeding again, pack it with some clean or hopefully sterile cloth or gauze. Put a little, and make a little pressure dressing yourself. Pack it well. Put some duct tape or something on top of that packing, and you got your own little pressure bandage there. So, I don't ever close a wound unless I already have the bleeding almost completely stopped or stopped, and then when I start closing it, it does that little extra pressure can completely stop it. But you don't want to have a wound bleeding really bad and try to close it and hope that the closing is going to make the wound stop bleeding, because it's just going to bleed on the inside and you're going to have a mess.
Yeah, most definitely. Now, obviously, we've talked about wounds and different things like that, but duct tape can be used for a lot of things in a pinch. Do you have another favorite out of your book that kind of off the norm, off the charts?
Yeah, I have several, but the thing about a lot of those things, and when I talk about the irritation and the stickiness, a lot of the things I use the unsticky side. You can make a tourniquet. There are a lot of other alternatives that do well. Certainly a belt or something that's flexible would be an alternative, but you can make just turn it around like to the unsticky side, put it above the wound, tighten it until that bleeding stops, and you have a tourniquet. One of the things that is kind of hard to explain except in the book, but I think is really neat, and have had so many people thank me for this, is you can take a ring off of a finger, even if the finger is swollen, you don't have to cut the ring off. And so many people have tried that and say, wow, this is great. they've had rings on, you know, for quite a while or something. And again, you don't have to use duct tape. You can use any type of strong string or dental floss or something. But the way you can wrap it around your finger, around that ring, and displace the fluid and the swelling as you take the ring off, it's amazing that you can get some rings off that you just didn't think were ever going to come off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're right. I'm actually remembering that section of your book, and the pictures do say, you know, 1,000 words. They actually go, you know, I can remember the picture as you went the ring. I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. Because the picture is an illustration of how to do it. You almost can't verbalize it without pictures. So
yeah, it's true.
Sorry, folks, if you're listening, you're going to have to go get the book to understand what we're talking about, because it is kind of a cool, it's a neat little trick. You know, growing up, as always, try butter, try, you know, this, try this. Never, all it did was make the stupid ring more slippery, and it still stayed there.
Yeah.
And when I saw that in the book, I went, oh, gosh, that is just, that's really physics right there. The physics of displacing where things are swollen and getting things off a little bit at a time. It really made perfect sense. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah. It can save you a ring. And of course, anytime you have a wound or anything or burn or whatever, take that ring off right away before it starts swelling. But, you know, I've had to take so many rings off in the past, cut them off at times. Mm-hmm. And this is, you know, this, if this works, it's fantastic. You get to save the ring. And so, you know, you don't have to really, you know, it's one of those things that unless you're having an emergency in the blood is cutting off the circulation. If it's kind of a chronic thing, you can certainly try it on your own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's pretty neat option.
Yeah.
Well, we've talked about duct tape at great length, and there's so many, a myriad of things that you can do with it. Do you have any other favorite home products that could be used in a medical purpose?
Oh yeah, safety pins. Like I said, I mean, mm-hmm. they're cheap. You can put them. You know, you can store them anywhere. They're light. You can use them for so many things. One of the things that you can use is make a sling. Now, I've got plenty of ways to make slings with duct tape, but another way is all you have to do to make a sling on your arm is to front of your shirt, fold it, wrap it around up above on your forearm, and safety pin, and you have a sling there. I mean, it works well for in certain situations, and just something that people may not think of. You can use a safety pin to, you know, sterilize it, and, you know, like maybe in a flame or something like that. Make sure that it's good, you know, that it's cooled off. And you can pick some things out that of your skin or foreign bodies or things, and you don't have to have a sterile needle around, although that would be great. And there are a lot of other reasons for safety pins. Honey. I love raw honey because, again, I love things that have studies behind them. And raw honey, you don't want to use it in children under about 2 years old because there are some bacteria that can actually harm children at that age, never shown to harm anybody older. But on the other hand, that honey is a great antibacterial. And so if you don't have, ointment around, antibiotic ointment or something, and you want something on a skin wound, honey is fantastic. A little messy. You'll have to be careful, but, you know, you can deal with it. Great cough medicine is honey. Children, above two, these days it's hard to find a cough medicine that is recommended because of the dangers. Honey has been found to work as well as over-the-counter, or maybe even better than over-the-counter cough medicines. So that, I love honey. Aloe vera. Get you an aloe vera plant. I think everybody ought to have one. Certainly, if you don't, have you some of that pure lotion. But for any type of soothing skin problem, it helps. And certainly, I think most people know about burns. If you have a burn, cool it. If you can't cool it, have to use some, or if you wanted to otherwise, use that aloe vera, or cool it and then use the aloe vera. Mm-hmm. So that's great. Petroleum jelly or something similar. Some people are going to balk at that because it has some petroleum products in it. But again, for certain situations, to seal a wound that you, like in a chest, you put some petroleum jelly on some gauze, it works great. if you have hot tar on you, that, you know, just stuck to you, and I've had that before in the office, and, you know, what can be worse? And so hot tar stuck on your skin, the way to get it off is get you some gauze or some cloth, put some petroleum jelly, soak it over that, and it'll bring it off without bringing the skin with it. Credit card, if you have a wound, you know, these things, if you know a little bit of knowledge, you just don't have to have as much stuff around. So you see, so somebody has a chest wound out on the road and or whatever, and you know, you can tell that they're having shortness of breath, and there's air. It's what we call a sucking chest wound. There's air coming into the chest and you know, the lungs not working. Mm-hmm. If you just pop a credit card or a driver's license over that wound, if the wound's small enough, it works wonders. It works as well as anything, because the fluids around there make it stick, and then every time the person tries to breathe in, the credit card, the suction brings the credit card in to make it seal, so air cannot get in. But on the other hand, when they breathe out, there's a little looseness there, so that if they have any excess air that shouldn't be in the chest, it's likely to come out. So the credit card works both ways. It's kind of a one-way valve.
Oh, that's cool. I've never, ever thought of that. And that's that's kind of a pretty massive one. If someone has a sucking chest wound, they need care.
Yeah, they need care. Of course, you're hoping that you'll get expert care, but until you want to do something as soon as possible, pop that credit card, stick it on there, and you know, it works.
That's pretty awesome. I like that one. I mean, I like all of them. My kids kind of make fun of me for being like, I am the mother of all ingenuity. I can't seem to do something by the rules. I have to look for multiple ways and options. So that kind of stuff really, really intrigues me. I want to make sure, because we've talked about the duct tape 911 book, I want to make sure everybody listening realizes that attached to this show is a giveaway. We are running, for the week that this show airs, we are running a giveaway for Dr. Hubbard's newest book, Duct Tape 911, and the widget for that is below. And if you happen to be listening and you downloaded this and you're not on the show page, I'm sorry, you're just going to have to come find the show page, because I don't have any way to tell you. The widget URL is too stinking long. So just come find the show page so that you can enter. I'm going to give you a code that gives you 10 extra entries, and that way we know you've listened this far into the show. You get 10 extra entries, and hopefully that ups your options and opportunities to get the book. And the code is YPS Duct Tape. Just smoosh it all together. YPS stands for Your Preparation Station, Duct, D-U-C-T, T-A-P-E. Smoosh it all together, and if you put that in, you will be able to receive 10 extra points. So we will verify that with whoever wins to make sure that they did that before they actually can win the book. So don't lie. Nobody that listens to my shows would ever lie. But scroll down a little bit below the show notes, below what you're listening to, and see the widget. And you can enter and visit Dr. Hubbard's Facebook page, as well as my own and some of the other great bloggers that are promoting this giveaway. And if you win, we'll send it straight to you, and there you go. So you'll have it in your hand. And if you haven't had the chance to win, there are other links and things below where you can go and purchase his book and look and find more out about Dr. Hubbard and what he has to offer. So before we close out, I had one thing that kind of stuck out in my mind, because storage of things is always kind of an issue for some people based on either their climate, their ability to keep it secure, their space, whatever. Do you have any advice for where is the best place and how is the best way to store duct tape for medical issues, or, you know, how do we store it? What's the best way to store this stuff?
Well, for duct tape, you just store it with whatever you usually use. You know, you can put it in your pack. A lot of people should have, you know, a bag to go right away. But, you know, it's not that expensive. Put one, some in there. Put some in your car. I thinking about that, well, it might get a little, you know, hot in there. But I think I would give it a try. And then certainly have some around your house. Have you an emergency kit available where so that everything is in its place and you know where it is and you can go mm-hmm. straight to it. Have it in the area that is least likely to be in a disaster. In other words, if you're flood prone, don't put your emergency kit in the basement. Put it, you know, upstairs. If you're, if you have tornadoes, you might consider if you have a good dry basement to put it in there. On medications, over the counter, and I think everybody that has their own prescription medicine should have at least a few days on hand, and mm-hmm. In addition, and never completely run out. And you can always get your prescription filled a few days ahead of time. Put those in some dry, cool areas. Get your own little container. Keep it cool and dry, and it'll last so much longer.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you very much. I want to make sure that we tell everybody how to go sign up for your newsletter again. And if you wouldn't mind, go ahead and we'll spell out their URL again rather than just rattle it off, just in case.
The Survival Doctor, THESURVIVAL, Doctor, DOCTOR, .com. Have tons of stuff there that you can look as far as posts and videos. You can go to the little button up at the top, and you'll see books. If you sign up for my newsletter, you can download my recommended basic supplies that you should have on hand as far as medical supplies. And if after you sign up for that, if you want to opt in, you can opt in to get more on my video series that's coming out soon.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I'll be sure to make sure I opt in for that part. I'm interested in hearing about that more as well. Maybe you can come back after it gets rolling and we can introduce people to it. So
I'd love to.
Great. Well, folks, thank you so much. Thank you, Dr. Hubbard, for being on the show. I'm hoping that you're introduced to a whole new group of people and that you can serve them as well, just as you've done in the past with so many others. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me.
My pleasure. This has been another episode of Your Preparation Station. I've had a great time spending the last hour with Dr. Hubbard, learned some great things from credit cards to duct tape, some makeshift things to save a life in an emergency before you're able to have professional care. You may be that lifeline, and I would suggest that you connect with him and click some of the links that are below the show page. Don't forget to enter the giveaway, because you may be the one that wins his newest book. For now, this is Donna Miller signing off, saying God bless, and remember, enjoy this journey. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
This has been another episode of Your Preparation Station with Donna Miller. We would love to hear from you. Please connect with us at yourpreparationstation.com and on Facebook. Tune in again next time for another encouraging episode. Until then, keep growing and finding joy in the journey.